in recent days in our ministry of the Word. And from time to time, we do mention and even make emphasis on what we call the means of grace. The means of grace. What do we mean by that? Well, we mean that God has instituted, He has chosen, He has put in place certain things by which He ministers grace to us. There's various ways we could define it, explain it. But it's very important that we understand that and that we appropriate that so that we receive grace as individuals in our life. We sing a hymn today. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. What is grace? Can you buy some of it at Walmart? What does it do? Think of that. We sing a hymn, Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like me. And then the pastor stands up and he talks about means of grace. How do I get it? Well, that's a good question. Grace is the desire and the ability to do the will of God. Do you see why the sinner needs saving grace? In his sin and his depravity, brought to a place where now he desires the things of God and is enabled by God to appropriate salvation. That's why we sing Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. But now I've been saved. Been there, done that. I'm through with grace. No, my dear one. It's just the beginning. Just the beginning. Because we need grace every moment of our life. There's saving grace. Sometimes we pray for enabling grace. God would enable me to witness to my neighbor. We need enabling grace to teach and preach His Word. We need enabling grace when we sit down with our Bibles in our homes and we read it. We need enabling grace when we're trying to train and bring up our children according to God's Word. Grace, grace, grace. And we need grace today. Why today? This is the Lord's Day. We're in the Lord's house. And we're here for a purpose, and that is to worship God. Do we need grace to do that? Or can we come in here and sit down and then somehow in our own clever abilities put it together and worship God? And as I have mentioned recently when we've had the Lord's table. Participating in the Lord's table is a means of grace. God will use it. He has chosen it. He has ordained it. He has picked it out to be one of the ways in which he's going to minister grace to your life. But that's not all of the story. It will not be a means of grace unless something's going on in my heart that helps me to appropriate all that this symbolizes. It's not a ho-hum, been there, went through the routine, let's go home and eat dinner and take a nap. Well, yeah, those are things that are okay, but listen to me. God save us from this becoming mere routine. It's the second Sunday in the month. That's the Sunday that the church has chosen to have the Lord's table. So we have the Lord's table. We'll have a few remarks and we'll take the cup and the bread and let's get on. It will not be a means of grace if that's the way we do it. And that's part of my responsibility as pastor, shepherd of the flock, to guide you, instruct you, help you to come to the conclusion, this is what I need to be doing if I'm to benefit spiritually from this ordinance, chosen by God for our spiritual good. Now, I've chosen two things to make emphasis on, and you may have already thought about them because we mention them very frequently. Meditation and prayer. Meditation and prayer. I'm going to read 2, 3, or 4 verses. I just want you to listen. And as I read them, I'm going to emphasize the word meditate or meditation. And you don't need to turn there because I'm just going to read several passages. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 63:6. When I remember thee on my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches. Psalm 119:15. I will meditate on thy precepts and regard thy ways. Psalm 19:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And on and on and on. When's the last time you meditated? Or have you? What is it? Well, there's various definitions. One says to engage in contemplation and reflect. There are synonyms. Contemplate, deliberate, ponder, reflect, study, think. Do we do it? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. I know of a very simple way of describing it for you. It's to get out all the juice. In Spanish, often we say, sacar todo el jugo. I remember years ago, when I was in Phoenix working with the Mexican Gospel Mission, and we had invited a special guest, and we were planning how many times he would speak, and I suggested to the director, I said, it was a Hispanic work, and I said, hermano, that's a lot of times to schedule him to speak. He says, yeah, I know it. He says, well, we got him here, we got to sacar todo el jugo, get the better bit. Have you ever squeezed any of the scriptures? To get the real juice, benefit, meaning, meditate. To meditate is not only to think seriously of divine things, but to think upon them with concern and suitable affection. That throws a couple of other things, other ingredients. Concern, suitable affection. You know, one little illustration we've used over the years is that how easy it is for anybody under any situation, any time, any place. I'm not making any accusations to anybody. I'm simply saying it's human nature to go wherever, to church, go home, and you can't even remember what the sermon was about. A lot of good it did. Why? Because there was no getting the juice. There was no getting the benefit of it into the very depths of your soul where you would never forget it. I've heard a lot of sermons that I have forgotten. But I can tell you this, there are sermons I will never forget as long as I live. And years ago when we were living in North Carolina, they held a Reformed Baptist family fellowship at a college campus. And one of my pastor friends, Edward Donnelly, one year preached on hell. I'll never forget it. It was the most sobering sermon I have ever heard. It's on sermon audio, in case you're interested. And on that occasion in the sermon, he said, people have asked me, Pastor, what about when we're in heaven and our loved ones are in hell? And he stopped and he looked around and he said, they won't be your loved ones anymore. You think about that. Doesn't that grip your heart? That's unforgettable. But how can we sit in that kind of a service? By the way, the following year he preached on heaven. Two of the most powerful sermons I've ever heard in my whole life. Unforgettable. Is that the way we approach God's word in our reading and in our coming and hearing the sermon preached on the Lord's Day? Is it? You know, dear people, what we're about to do here in the next few moments is sobering. It is actually carrying out an ordinance of the church which Christ himself established. We didn't think this up. Jonathan and I didn't think it up. It was instituted by the Lord himself. Does that not grip your heart? And if that's true, what is it all about? What's the meaning? Why did he do it? Think about it before you get here. Think about it in these moments. The broken bread, symbolizing the broken body of Christ. The cup of wine, symbolizing his shed blood. Well, listen to the words of Matthew Henry. I'll read them very carefully, slowly, distinctly. But you hear them well and you think about them. I hope it changes our hearts. Matthew Henry says, "Never was beauty so deformed, never was strength so weakened, and never was a healthful constitution so spoiled, never was honor so laid in the dust." Think about that. It's difficult to put words together that even come close to describing the agony, the death of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. As we approach the table, there are some things we ought to meditate. We ought to think about. Think seriously about the patience and the long suffering of our Savior. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience?" Meditate upon the person of Christ, undertaking the work of redemption. Think about those moments on the cross when Christ died to pay the price and the penalty for sin. So that wretched sinners can be changed and transformed by the power of God. And they can become living testimonies of the saving grace of God. Well, so many things. That we can think about. But Matthew Henry again, let me read his words. "They and we meet daily at the same throne of grace, under the conduct of the same spirit of adoption, which teaches us all to cry, Abba, Father. And they and we hope to meet shortly at the same throne of glory, under the conduct of the same Jesus who will gather his elect from the four winds and present them all together." That's going to be heaven. Ever think about it? We should. Often. Well, you know, folks, I want to just finally mention not only meditate, but pray. Pray, yes. Lord, prepare me as I come to the table. To know that grace that you want me to have when I go home. Pray. Pray. Pray that God will keep us day by day.